Hello and welcome to the regular series of podcasts produced for our African audiences by the International Monetary Fund here in Washington, D.C. Many view trade as being key to economic takeoff. If that's the case, many countries in Africa might be viewed as having done rather well in recent years. Over the last decade and a half, some countries on the continent have seen a healthy increase in trade volumes. But as we'll be hearing from our guests, there's still room for improvement. To talk about this, I'm joined today by Nagwa Riad of the IMF Strategy, Policy and Review Department and Frank Lakwek of the Fund's Africa Department. Now, we'll just begin by giving us a picture of the pattern of trade in and out of Africa.
Sure. African global trade has increased significantly. Just roughly as a dollar figure, it has increased from about $170 billion in 1990 to more than $650 billion by 2009. So that's almost a fourfold increase. It's grown above world growth, mostly driven by commodity exports, for which there was increased demand, especially since 2000. And also because economic performance in many African economies had improved. You've seen a lot of growth in many African countries between 2000 and 2009. Now, in terms of main exporting countries, these include Nigeria, Morocco, South Africa, Angola, and Algeria. And with the exception of South Africa, which tends to export mostly manufacturers, these economies are primary commodity exporters. So I'm talking about oil, minerals, ores, and agricultural products.
Frank, let me turn to you. I said in the introduction that some people see trade as being critical to economic takeoff. Do you share that view?
Yeah, absolutely. Trade is indispensable for a strong growth performance by countries. There really haven't been countries in the world that have grown fast without also being very open to international trade. It's an indispensable element of a growth strategy to be very open to trading with other countries, both countries nearby and countries far away. I mean, the world is your market.
Nagwa Riad, let me come back to you. You've given us a general picture of the pattern of trade, but in recent years, A, Africa's done rather well in the last decade and a half, but also it's been developing new trade relationships. Can you elaborate on that?
There has been some shift in the geographic destination of African trade. Even though, in terms of exports, African countries still trade heavily with advanced economies or traditional partners, so the US, the EU, Japan, OECD countries mainly. These countries account for about 60 to 70% of African trade. If we look at the BRICS,
BRICS meaning
Brazil, Russia, India, and China, BRIC trade accounted for less than 2% of African trade in 1990. By 2009, it had increased to 20% of African trade. So it's the pace of this increase that is really remarkable. Increased Africa-BRIC trade reflects product complementarity between the African countries and the BRICS.
By that, I guess you mean that what the Africans can produce, the Brazilian, Russian, Indian, Chinese can use.
Precisely. So African countries are very rich in resource endowments, primary products, ores, oil, minerals, agricultural production. BRICS, especially China and India, are very resource scarce. So this complementarity has created fertile ground for increased trade between African countries and the BRICS.
Frank, you work on the case of Senegal, and Senegal is a medium-sized country, not the poorest on the continent, but not the richest. I mean, it's nowhere on a par with South Africa. How is it doing in terms of trade?
Well, Senegal is a nice illustration of the things that Nagwa was talking about. It has some commodity exports. It exports phosphoric acid, which is made from phosphates, which are abundant in the country. And it exports those essentially to India, one of the BRIC countries. And actually, in the last few years, those exports have really picked up. So this illustrates both the commodity aspect and the BRIC aspect of trade in recent years. But Senegal, on the whole, is not natural resource rich. So for Senegal to really take advantage of international trade, they need to think of manufacturing and they need to think of services as areas where they could potentially export. Now, in both of those areas, Senegal has not done terribly well. Its market share, its international world market share, has gone down over the last couple of decades. And it's becoming a priority for Senegal to try to export more.
You say that there's been increasing recognition of the importance of manufacturing and trade to countries like Senegal, the fact that they're not living up to their trade potential. What are the things that are holding them back?
There are a number of things that that hold them back, and the country is working on alleviating some of the constraints. Just to mention a few, and not necessarily in order of importance. If you want to manufacture, obviously you also need to have some way to get what you make out of the country. So the country has been upgrading its port facilities, which are in Dakar, the capital. And also a new airport is being built, and the road infrastructure is being improved. And by the way, Senegal is one of the countries that is not landlocked. I mean, many countries in Africa, there are many countries in Africa, and many of them are landlocked, which immediately presents a hurdle to international trade, because it's harder to, for example, for manufacturers to be shipped abroad. Senegal does not have that disadvantage. So there are some starting advantages. Another very important element is the overall business climate. Any kind of growth, any kind of economic activity essentially has to come from the private sector. And the private sector in Senegal and in many other African countries is hindered by a number of fundamental constraints, administrative restrictions, difficulty obtaining permits. Bureaucracy is definitely one thing, and they're working on it in Senegal, they're working on it in many other countries. But another very important element are things like health and education. I mean, the level of health and education is just really low in poor countries, including in Senegal. In order to have people with some education who can help produce things for export or for their own economy, I mean, you need to bring up the level of education. And this starts at the bottom, at the primary educational level, and goes all the way to the higher education levels. So there are just many, many areas that need to be worked on for the economy to start to do better.
Before I wrap this up, I'd like to ask one question to both of you. If I had to ask you, if I asked you to identify one trend which you think will be important to African trade in the future, whether it's about volumes or new trading partners or new commodities, Nagwa Riad, can I begin with you?
I think with the global rebalancing and China rebalancing its growth model more towards domestic demand as opposed to export-oriented demand, in time should help it move up the value chain in its exports. So African countries can take up the slack in terms of low-skill manufacturing, where China is now dominating, and if they manage to do that, then I think they can really break away from the commodity trap.
Perhaps counterintuitively, the first thing I think of is not something international, and we're talking here about international trade, but the first thing I think of is the domestic developments, because ultimately it's the shape of the domestic economies in Africa that determine how much international trade they can engage in. I hope that over the coming years, the trend that is in place of improvements in the domestic economies in Africa, that continues and actually even strengthens. Obviously, that will be immediately good for those countries. And then through the channel of international trade, they will be able to even accelerate their development, because it opens many opportunities for selling things abroad, and that will earn money so they can purchase things that are needed.
That's quite an optimistic note to end on. Thank you very much indeed. I'd like to thank both our guests. I was joined today by Nagwa Riad of the IMF Strategy, Policy and Review Department, and Frank Lekwek of the Fund's Africa Department. And if you want to know more about this subject and any others, log on to the IMF's website on www.imf.org.